Hey, this is Jeremy Loeb with WCQS. You're about to hear an interview with Frank Taylor. He is managing editor of Carolina Public Press about a story on their website looking into the health effects of coal ash. The story is titled, "Is Coal Ash to Blame for Illness?" It was written by Ted Strong and edited by Frank. If you're listening on our mobile app, visit WCQS.org for a link to that article. Let's go back to the Dan River spill.
Sure.
And can you tell us what happened then?
February 2014, there was a collapse of the facility where they were storing coal ash, and large amounts of coal ash entered the Dan River, which is a source of drinking water for people in Virginia and North Carolina. It was a major failure. And obviously Duke was not happy that this happened to their plant, but it brought a lot of attention to their operation, and brought a lot of attention to these coal ash facilities. As a result of that, legislation got passed, among other things, mandating that there's a cleanup schedule for coal ash sites throughout North Carolina, and mandating testing of private wells that were located in proximity to these areas. What we've been hearing recently, and what led us to do this report that we're working on, was people showing up at public hearings about the cleanup of coal ash and saying, we got do not drink orders from the state because our wells were tested and they were high in certain things. And then the state came back and said, well, we screwed up. You can actually drink the water. And people were showing up saying, well, we don't know whether it's safe or not. We don't really trust the state. Part of what the state is saying is that there's no clear standard, so we can't prove that it's dangerous for you to drink, but they can't prove that it's not either.
Right. And your article starts out with the example of someone who has basically said that she's been sick, family members have been sick, and even animals in the area have been sick.
Right, and neighbors as well. And she's citing different things, cancers being one of the claims that we've heard. This individual was located in Arden, which is close to the Asheville coal ash facility that is being cleaned up, by the way. But, you know, this has been there a long time. So the idea is that coal ash may have gotten into the water table. Well, that's being debated. And we wanted to look at the question of, are the things in her well potentially linked to these health problems, regardless of whether we can prove that it's from the coal ash? Because the questions get mixed up. We can't avoid the fact that they're intertwined. But there's a similar group of people that showed up at a public hearing on the same issue of how quickly Duke needs to clean up the coal ash at the Cliffside plant in eastern Rutherford County. It's on the line between Rutherford and Cleveland counties. And those people had similar concerns. One of them talked about nothing will grow on her property that's about 30 yards from the coal ash basin there. Others talked about simply not knowing, is it safe for me to water my crops from the well here? Is it safe for me to feed this to my animals? So a lot of questions people had about the way this works. Part of the problem is that there's not clear standards for some of these toxins. What is a safe level, especially from the state of North Carolina? In some cases, there are federal standards. And in a few cases, the wells did test as being higher than the federal standards. For instance, the woman in Arden, her well tested excessively high for iron and manganese. Other people had high tests for hexachromium, which is a scary chemical well known to the public because of the movie Aaron Brockovich. The problem with hexachromium, though, it's a known carcinogen if you inhale it. What happens if you drink it is a lot more controversial. And at the moment, there's not a clear standard at the federal level, and there's no clear state standard for how much hexachromium is safely in your water. There is some naturally occurring hexachromium. So, you know, what's safe and what isn't?
Which standards are more stringent, the federal level or the state level standards?
Well, in some cases, the state has no standards. The state sought to impose not really a proper standard, but they sought to say, okay, well, if we find elevated levels when we test, we're going to issue a warning to people saying, don't drink this water. But Duke Energy came back and quite correctly pointed out that they were imposing a standard that was different than the federal standard, much more stringent, and that if they were to do this with groundwater, why weren't they doing it with public utilities, many of which had more elevated levels than these wells? And so the state reversed itself a few weeks ago and said, well, at least for hexachromium and vanadium, which are both items that were problematic and found in a lot of these wells, we're going to say that we're going to rescind these do not drink orders. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's safe to drink that water, though. It just means that they didn't feel they had enough evidence to say, don't drink the water. And so one of the questions we wanted to look at is, are these health problems people are citing evidence of there really being a more serious problem? The state, by the way, has come out just within the last week with a call for the feds to impose a clear standard on some of these chemicals. And they're hopeful that the EPA will do that later this year. And they're not the only state asking for this to happen. But I think that that's a desert of information and a desert of guidance on public policy. So they would really like to see that void filled with a clear guideline, particularly on vanadium and hexachromium.
And it's such a convoluted story because you've got DEQ on one hand.
Yeah.
You've also got Duke Energy's response. And what has been Duke Energy's response? Say if there is a do not drink order imposed. I know that there have been reports that Duke Energy has provided bottled water, say, to some communities. Does the do not drink order trigger Duke Energy into doing something voluntarily, or are they doing anything that they're required to do?
Yes to both answers, and it's a tricky question. They were going to be required to do it. Duke isn't conceding that they're responsible for any of the contamination found in wells. And they point to things like the slope. And they say, well, this well was uphill from our plant, so we don't think it's anything to do with us. You know, there's some debate about that issue. But Duke said, in the meantime, we're going to go ahead and, out of the goodness of our hearts, provide drinking water to people in these communities. But Duke has said, this is not admitting that we did anything wrong or that we're culpable. We're not saying that the wells are unsafe. We're not saying that anything that's in the well is our responsibility. And we're not saying that anybody who's sick in these areas is sick because of anything connected to our coal ash. At least in the plants in this part of the state, there may be a different issue in a few other locations. I believe there's a different type of contamination that's occurred on the coast near a Wilmington plant. But if we're talking Western North Carolina, particularly the two sites in Buncombe and Rutherford counties, then that's been Duke's response.
And then the bottled water issue doesn't really get into the fact that, well, let's say if I were in one of these areas where there was a do not drink order, I would also be worried to take a shower with that water.
Right, because there's not a clear standard for how much is safe to even be around. I mean, say we're talking about hexachromium, we do know that it's dangerous to breathe in. How much is dangerous to breathe in? And are you in danger if you leave water around and it evaporates, and so you have this chemical drying out and exposed to the air, even in minute quantities? You know, how much concern should you have? I talked a little bit on background with some scientists about this issue, and they were vague about it, and they seemed to indicate that with very minute amounts, there's not a huge concern. But the problem is, again, the lack of clear standards, the lack of clear guidance for people in handling water that does have some elevated levels of these chemicals in them. You know, I can't prove that people are sick because of the water, but I can prove they're afraid because of it. And that's a different disease. And we found it pretty pervasive in these communities. It was very strong in the Buncombe public hearing on the speed of coal ash cleanup, but it was even stronger at the hearing in Spindale, which is Rutherford County, where we heard person after person get up and say, look, we are poor people who work hard. We farm. Some of them work for Duke. We didn't deserve to have this uncertainty about our health and to find out that the well our family has used for generations is a question mark. And I think that's part of what we wanted to get at. You know, are those fears well-founded? And at the end of the day, we can't tell them that there's not a problem. I sure hope there's not a serious problem. One of the issues has been that the state probably needs to do some more testing. I mean, the state let itself be thrown off of its testing regimen by small things like somebody's power was turned off so they weren't using their well right now. That was the case of one of the people who talked at the hearing in Rutherford County. And this is the person who's only 30 yards, their well's only 30 yards from the Duke facility.
You know, the Department of Environmental Quality itself has been under fire.
They have.
Over the course of McCrory's administration, partly fairly or not for his previous employment at Duke Energy. And so the question of whether or not DEQ itself is trusted by the community to protect them is a question.
One of the things that we ran into as we talked with different policymakers in question was clearly DEQ is trying to feel its way forward. I mean, they had this legislation they were handed that said, you're going to be doing this. And they're trying to figure out how to implement it. And they haven't actually got all the answers. So, I mean, in fairness to them, they're trying to figure out how to apply this legislation, calling for a major reversal in how North Carolina treats coal ash storage. One of the key issues that relates to this that was driving these public hearings we had in March on coal ash was DEQ came out with an assessment of each site and said, here's the urgency with which these need to be cleaned up. Well, the Asheville site had pretty strong urgency and is going to be cleaned up pretty quickly. There's some controversy about some of the ways that it's being done and what's the best approach. But the site in Rutherford County didn't get that same level of urgency. And so speaker after speaker at the public hearing there expressed grave concern about the facility there, the danger to public health by not making that a rapid cleanup site. One of the interesting things that happened, this hearing there occurred, I think, 2 days before, maybe the day before the primaries. And we had representatives of both the Republican and Democratic parties in Rutherford County showing up to speak and said, look, we're in agreement on this. This has to change. This is not acceptable to treat this coal ash storage facility as a lower priority than some of the other ones. There are serious problems with the conditions at the facility. And they were able to cite very clear empirical data showing DEQ said the site will be okay if some repairs are done. But the repairs haven't been done. And so giving it a pass based on the possibility of ultimately seeing those conditions repaired, you know, raises some concern for people who are living near that area, drinking either well water or drinking water drawn from the Broad River, which is a spillover, has spillover potential if you have flooding in the area.
This story really is about these people living near these sites, worried about their well water.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you looked at this, the issue seems to be a question of whether or not these contaminants that may or may not be there, whether or not they are causing people to be sick. How much research, actual research, has been done on those sites? And is there a push for more?
There's some push for more, but there's been minimal research done. I mean, testing was done on some wells in the area. There were do not drink orders issued in response to that. And then the state reevaluated its standards because the state's not sure what the numbers ought to be. They're looking to the feds to give them clear guidance. As far as the presence of the chemicals, I mean, I think that's clear. That's actually not in question, although they may retest and find a slightly different level over time. The real question is, are the chemicals coming from coal ash? And that wasn't the question we really looked at with this most recent article, but it's an important question. The question we were looking at is, are the levels of chemicals being found ones that are health concerns? Because whether it's from coal ash or not, if there's not really a health concern, then why all the worry? But if there is a health concern, then of course we'd like to know what the source of the problem is, and we'd like to figure out as a public health policy what we're going to do about it, whether the coal ash is naturally occurring or coming from Duke. I covered a couple years ago, I worked for the Fayetteville Observer at the time and was covering an issue where we had arsenic showing up in wells in northern Cumberland County, which is adjacent to the Cape Fear River. Duke has a coal ash site further north on the Cape Fear River or on one of the tributaries of the Cape Fear River in Moncure, central part of the state. But we found there was no connection between the arsenic, which can come from coal ash, between that arsenic in the wells and the coal ash. The arsenic was naturally occurring, and it was well documented as naturally occurring in that area. That happened to be a clear-cut situation, and they had a solution there at the local level where the city of Fayetteville came in and helped to provide some water to those communities. There was some political turmoil over it, but they worked it out. Here we have a much different situation because we're really not sure. I mean, arsenic, we know. Arsenic is poison, and we are very clear on the levels of toxicity. But we have some chemicals that are a little less familiar, or they're safe at minimal levels, but at these very highly concentrated levels, there's less clear public policy. Again, the woman in Arden talked about having iron and manganese in her water, and the testing found that it was both of these chemicals, safe in some conditions, were at levels that were unacceptable even at the federal standards. Other people are seeing hexachromium, vanadium. Those are the most unclear. They're clearly not items that you really want to have in your water, but how much is okay, and then where is it coming from?
As a reporter, you and Ted Strong, the two reporters, you know, really closely looking at this, was it a difficult story as far as getting information from these agencies, from DEQ, from Duke Energy? Were they forthcoming with information, and how transparent have they been, especially looking at how they're classifying these sites, whether or not they're safe, whether or not they need to be cleaned up now or in 3 years' time or however?
That's a tricky question. They seem to be cooperative and forthcoming to some degree, but you always wonder what they're not telling you. You always wonder, do they know anything they're not saying? I think everybody was in a mode of trying to do some damage control. There have been some wild and exaggerated claims made about coal ash. What we're looking at were not necessarily wild and exaggerated claims, but claims that were frightening but unproven. And they were in a position to be able to deny, in the state's case, knowing that there's a clear causal connection, in the case of Duke, saying not only do we not see a clear causal connection between the illness and the chemicals, but we also don't see a connection between the chemicals and us. The state isn't prepared to say either way on those. Mm-hmm. Because they're not denying outright, they're just saying there's no proof. You know, unless they know something that we don't know that they know, I can't tell you whether they're being transparent or not. But they at least were willing to talk to us. That wasn't a problem. The people who were less willing to talk to us, interestingly, were the people who make policy on what the safe standards are. We had difficulty finding anybody that would go on the record, and we tried to talk to academics about it. Now, there may be somebody who will call in, you know, tomorrow and offer to talk to us about it. But the people that we were directed toward and that we tried to find, I had at least one person who backed out at the last second and would only talk on background with us about it. So that
was a challenge. About lawmakers now.
No, we're talking about two groups of people, either policymakers with regulatory agencies or scientists who are academics working in this field. It's just too hot to touch was the impression that we got. And they also were very wary. They think it's complicated and the public is not sophisticated enough to understand it. And they were concerned about their comments being twisted. And, you know, they said, I think there's a liability issue involved too.
People who are experiencing these illnesses, are they getting the information? Like, is the state and Duke Energy providing them information to say, here, we've tested the water and this is what we found in your water? Are they getting clear numbers? Okay.
They are. But they don't know what those numbers mean, and the state can't really tell them.
Do you believe that the state even knows?
I think there's a debate, an honest debate about what is safe and what isn't. Mm-hmm. And there's probably some give and take from people who are very pro-industry and want to avoid being overly cautious, which could, you know, cost jobs in theory. And then there are people who are very concerned about environmental issues in principle and people just in general who are concerned about public health. So I'm sure there's some tension among the state staff on this issue, and there's room for a debate. I hope the debate doesn't take too long.
How would you describe the mood of these people that were concerned about their health?
Somewhere between despondent and – well, actually, despondent's a pretty good word. There was a person who talked to us at the event in Rutherford County. She spoke at the hearing there in Spindale at Isothermal Community College. And Donna Turner described it. She's the one who had her well not tested because the power had been turned off. So the state didn't test the well, but it's located very close. And as she talked, she described horrible health conditions. She doesn't know for sure that these are connected to anything in her water and whether anything in her water is connected to coal ash, but she can see where she lives. She sees that things won't grow on her property anymore. And she described horrible conditions with her skin, her teeth, other illnesses that are occurring. And at the end of her statement, as she spoke, she just, you know, she looked at the Duke representatives who were there and said, you know, they got plenty of money. Why don't they do something about this? They just don't care. I'm not going to say that she's right about that, but I understand where she's coming from. I understand why they feel abandoned and they feel like nobody's giving them answers. And so I think there's an urgency for public policymakers to come up with better answers than they've been able to provide so far. Mm-hmm. These people feel like they're left in limbo.
And when we're talking about these storage facilities, as some of them are lined, some of them aren't lined, to be clear, there is some level of acceptable contamination, I think, that Duke is allowed. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, acceptable depends on who you ask.
Right.
And that's one of the problems. That's a public policy standard. Traditionally, they were allowed a lot more, but the tolerance for that being acceptable is going away. Mm-hmm. As we realize, there have been a lot of problems with these facilities doing a lot worse than had been understood previously.
Right. So the reason I bring it up is that, so we're not talking about the coal ash spill in the Dan River wasn't the beginning of this. We're talking about decades, you know, of possible contamination in people's water. So if someone is exhibiting health problems, it's not something that just came up.
Right. I'll give you an example of, in a different location where we looked at this. I worked several years ago for the paper in Lincolnton, North Carolina, and we looked at elevated levels of arsenic that were showing up in Lake Norman, which is a major source of drinking water for the Charlotte area. We were on the west side of that lake. Duke has a coal ash facility in Sherrill's Ford on the north side of that lake. When we looked at the elevated arsenic levels, there were clear standards for arsenic, and it did seem to be connected to the plant, at least potentially. But they said, well, you'd have to drink this water for 30 years before you'd have any health problems. So we felt like that's acceptable. Well, you know, for somebody who lives in an area for 60 years drinking the water, is that acceptable? One of the common things I would hear said by people in that community was, you know, my ancestors fought the British and they fought the Yankees, and we're still here and we're fighting whoever we have to fight to hold on to our property. Mm-hmm. That was the mindset of people who had deep, deep roots in these rural communities. And I think that same thing is true in Western North Carolina. We were seeing it in Lincolnton and Denver there. But people don't want to be told that they can't safely drink the water over a prolonged period. And standards that have a shelf life of 30 years, you know, I really have to ask, is that an adequate standard? I realize there's some reasons why it's harder to project out further than that, but it seems to me that's a short-sighted standard when people want to have a quality of life that goes to a lifetime.
Mm-hmm. So the nature of this investigative journalism that you practice at Carolina Public Press, as we saw with the Felicia Reeves piece, these stories are ongoing. You know, after you've written the article, the work continues, and oftentimes the story brings up a lot of questions and not always answers to those questions. So what's next for this piece?
Boy, that's a good question. I think we're going to kind of watch what happens with the public policy issues. There's an issue that has come up just in the last week, a ruling that's going to put more of the coal ash sites on the front burner. Well, that won't directly affect Western North Carolina, but the fact this is happening statewide, I think is significant. We're going to kind of stay tuned and see what happens next. In this case, we felt like we'd been reporting on these public hearings and we needed to really do an investigation about the question of the health problems. What we found was just more questions, but I think it was worth doing that exploration and realizing just how unknown the answers are.